Blog Talk Radio.
You're a grown-up. You don't need a script. Let's just get to know each other. Tell me about yourself.
Okay. What do you want to know? I'm rich, very rich, but a do-gooder. I help poor people, orphans, whales, you know. That's...
Look, if you're not going to tell me about yourself, let me take a shot. You're an insecure little weirdo who lies about everything and probably cries himself to sleep every night.
Wow, you're good. Well, I guess that date's over.
Hey, get back here. Relax. It's not over.
But you said all those horrible, true things about me.
You're like an abandoned building that ought to be condemned. You know, busted windows, rats running around, a real nasty sewer situation. But maybe if the right person got a hold of it and cleaned it up, maybe they could take that disgusting building and turn it into something not so disgusting.
Are you that person?
Lucky for you, I like a project.
And am I that disgusting building?
Yeah.
That is the nicest thing that anyone has ever said about me.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
No, it's Max, Darrow, and D-Bert, your host for the Comic Shop Show.
What's up, people? Your host, D-Bert, a.k.a. The Afterbirth, has arrived. Welcome to yet another fiery, fun, fact-finding mission of Afterbirth Radio. In this case, the Comic Shop, as presented by Afterbirth Radio. If you haven't guessed the voiceover work on that, that was the new Looney Tunes, courtesy of Cartoon Network. I guess they're doing a send-up of Seinfeld, and we're going to discuss it among other things, but I really dig, believe it or not, I really dig this version of Looney Tunes. But first, before we get into the discourse, the comic pulp-flavored discourse, we've got to get into some nerdcore muzak. Nerdcore muzak. This is Thought Criminals' Roll for Initiative. The Thought Criminals. Folks, let's groove. We'll be back in a few moments.
So how you want to start this?
I was born into this world looking kind of strange. I feel the brains, the way I stay looking sideways the same. I got the coaster and ran tired of a bumper. Figure it out once I figure it is up, but I'm not sure anymore. Catalogs and details and leave the blood all over the killing floor. Psychological position, rather not mess with drugs, rather just make incisions. Collisions at high speed has no meat. Some stack wealth that insistence agreed. Nothing's free, and it proves you stupid. Love's not all we need, compassion and truth. And it's not like I'm making crazy demands. Step up in the room and everybody say, God damn, dude's a man. Stacking platinum knowledge. A two-day scholar, never been to college. M-I-K-A-L, the K to the hill. Never do your boy jail, can't beat me. Grew up on gangsta rap, and I'm doing my best. To put my down on the map, step back to the group with some gangsta crap. Just slap back, nah, you know we don't play. That is what it is, got a deck of magic cards. Lightning bolts in your face, try to play hard. Cram a D20 in your eye socket. You're making me nervous.
All right, enough of that. Again, that was the Thought Criminals' Roll for the Initiative. Folks, welcome to the Comic Shop. Remember, at 7 p.m., we have Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk with more, I guess, more politically influenced discussion. Anyway, 646-915-9620. And, of course, I could not do the show, at least not effectively, without my crew in charge. Captain, you're up. Let's get into it.
Zoinks.
Zoinky. Is that another one? All right. And, of course, we could not do the show with the indefatigable, irascible, irreplaceable Daryl B.
Doing the show from my house. Finally, I'm back home. That's cool.
Yeah, that's odd, actually. You're always on the road, but it's cool to have you at home, so that's cool. All right, gentlemen, we're going to talk about a lot of things. Pulp, sci-fi, you name it, animation. And the beginning clip, I open up the show with this. I thought it was pretty comical, pretty adult, actually, for a Looney Tunes clip. And that's the new Looney Tunes, which has been out for about 2 seasons now. It's going through the 2nd season. And, you know, I grew up on the Looney Tunes, and we remember the stuff from the 50s. Incredibly funny. And they pointed to some adult stuff, but not to the degree that they're doing it now. And it's definitely positioned itself as more of a sitcom than ever before. We've seen different incarnations. Dow, you probably remember a few years back, I think the CW had a version of the Looney Tunes where it was more anime and more definitely more of a Japanese influence, and they were almost like superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
Even that was more serious, but I think that was more of an abomination. This, they're still the Looney Tunes, but they're put in a more of an adult context. Daffy and Bugs are roommates. They have their own house. Everyone has their own house. They're in suburbia. They have flat-screen TVs. They have cell phones. They have drive cars. Some of them go to work. It has a different vibe, and you could definitely see that there's a kind of a Seinfeld vibe to this incarnation of Looney Tunes. What are your thoughts about it? I think it's better than I expected, to me.
Well, you know what? I criticize Cartoon Network on a lot of things, and everybody who's listened to the show knows I've gotten on Cartoon Network about a lot of things. But we saw it with the New Adventures of Johnny Quest. We saw it with their He-Man series. We saw it with the recent Scooby-Doo series. We've now seen it with Looney Tunes, where they've taken these classic cartoons and all of their cheesy aspects, and although they haven't totally removed the cheesiness, they've included some adult type comedy that resonates, where the kids are laughing at the hijinks of that, but adults could sit down and go like, oh wow, they touched that topic, or whoa, wow, I can laugh at that. Oh, you know, where you're comfortable, in other words, your adult sensibilities are getting entertained as well as the kid inside you, if you catch the drift. Behind the scenes, I talked about that Scooby-Doo is touched on suicide, touched on drug use, touched on stuff that you don't think would be in a cartoon. At the same time, all right, this new Looney Tunes, which you're about to bring up, has touched on a lot of problems with dating. We'll just say it like that, that people find to have problems with dating, stuff that isn't exactly like middle America white bread, if you catch the drift. A very interesting tone set by this, and hopefully the good writing continues. Back to you, Afro-Nerd.
We have a caller. I'm going to open the lines in a moment. Caller, hold on just one more moment. I want to go to the captain. Now, the captain didn't dig it as much. He's more reminiscent of the Looney Tunes of old, which I still dig the old Looney Tunes from the 50s. They still have their place, definitely. You know, I love the 60s cartoons, the Jetsons and all that kind of stuff. So I still picked them up on DVD. I believe our listenership is pretty much familiar with the fact that I love Johnny Quest. Actually, I hated the new Johnny Quest. Loved the new Johnny Quest was always – I mean, sorry, the old Johnny Quest from the 60s was always an adult-oriented thing anyway. you know, it was always pretty cool. So it's hard to kind of, I don't know, that's one that would be great for a revitalization. Anyway, Captain, your thoughts on this? I know you don't dig it, but what are your thoughts on the new Looney Tunes?
Well, essentially it's this. I'll be terse here with this. I definitely do get it. I see exactly what they did and what they didn't do in respect to the old Looney Tunes. They definitely updated it, made it very modern day. But it's more of a personal thing with me. Certain things from my childhood, I want to just remain in my childhood. Some things it's good to take with me. You know, Looney Tunes for me is just one of them. I want it left there. That's not one of the things I'll take with me. It's just one of those type of things. That doesn't say whether it's bad or good. That's just in respect to me. I want Looney Tunes left in that time, state of mind, state of time frame, in that timeline. I do not want it here in the present with me at this given time. That's just what it is at this given point. That's all. That's all really what it is.
Well, you know what? I can respect that. And I tell you something. I felt the way that you did, especially with the fact that they've done so many reboots with the Looney Tunes. They've done so many that I thought it just fell flat. They've done so many that, in my opinion, they actually got it right this time after having done so many screw-ups. So I really feel you on this. I think I understand where you're coming from. I just felt this time around after, I don't know, 10 different iterations of the Looney Tunes for some reason. Like the one they did a few years back, as I just mentioned, that was more of an anime feel where they were superheroes. I said, oh, God, this is definitely an appeal to the, you know, to those who are into Yu-Gi-Oh! And all those other types of animation. I thought that was a plea to get those young folk on board, and it failed miserably. This one, I think, is a little different. Now, let's open up the lines. I want Daryl to talk more about this Scooby-Doo thing. When does that come on? I wasn't even aware. Because I know they've done a lot of straight-to-DVD Scooby-Doo shows. I didn't know there was really, really a new one.
Yeah,
when does that come on?
Again, this is where I also got to pull back the credit I give Cartoon Network. Just as the buzz for the – and I got turned on to it by Chris Sims from Comics Alliance. He did about a month and a half, 2 months ago, did an excellent article breaking down the new Scooby-Doo. So I was like, you know what? Let me go and give this thing a watch. And I managed to find a site where I streamed like 6 or 7 episodes of the new series. It's usually on in the afternoons, all right? But, again, as soon I dug it. I dug it. Yeah, it has its cheesiness because, of course, they're essentially Mythbusters now. That's essentially what they are. They've always been. They were the original Mythbusters. Monster hunters, you could call them, but they were Mythbusters. Oh, this is the creature? Well, we'll show you what all it is, and here it is, and secretly, here's how they did it, you know? They were the original Mythbusters, but here you got, they give you detailed backstories for each character. They give you their tragedies and their triumphs, you know? And I was shocked to see allusions to suicide, allusions to drug use. I mean, we've always had allusions to drug use in Scooby-Doo, but this was kind of more blatant, you know? Allusions to cheating, allusions to, and when I say cheating, both academically and romantically, you know? They have delved into some pretty adult stuff in the new Scooby-Doo, and I have to thank Chris Sims for that, because I would have never known, because I thought, it's another Scooby-Doo series, you know, I'm not touching this one. But I give it credit. I give them credit. This new Scooby-Doo is well done. The problem is with Cartoon Network is once you get set, like set watching a series and stuff, that's when they play games with the schedule. They just bounce it all over the place. You know, that's why you want to sometimes take Cartoon Network executives and just throttle them. Like, here's a good thing. You're getting rave reviews. Why are you messing with the formula? You know, but, hey, to each its own. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
All right, let's open up the lines. This person's been holding on for a bit. Okay, caller, welcome to the Comic Shop. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 219, what's up?
Hey, guys, it's Chad. Glad to join you guys back and join the show as always.
Terrific. What are your thoughts about the conversation? I mean, it may seem a bit, I don't know, juvenile for some to hear that we're talking about Looney Tunes and Scooby-Doo, but the reality is that these properties have been updated for, I mean, Looney Tunes comes on at 8 o'clock on Tuesdays, 8 o'clock p.m. So it's definitely intended for a adult audience, and, you know, the audience now has grown up with Looney Tunes, so they've definitely matured them for some reason. Any thoughts on some of these properties?
Oh, yeah. I stumbled across the show maybe several months ago, maybe 6 months or so. And I, you know, I don't know what made me stick to it, but I stayed watching. And I realized, wow, this was an updated version of the show, that a lot of the humor was way over kids' heads. But like you guys said earlier, that there's enough to keep the kids watching, but a lot of it is going to hit the adults. I think it's great. I really liked it. I thought it was funny. If you guys haven't seen the episode, one that really got me was when Foghorn Leghorn is looking for somebody to play himself in his autobiography. And he gets Daffy Duck. And there's a lot of very subtle humor about the possible, like, homosexual relationship between the two little squirrel characters at the end. And I thought that was pretty risky for them to pull it off, but they did it. Kids wouldn't have got it. Adults would raise the eyebrow at it. And I got to applaud that they're keeping updated. I mean, these are characters that have been around longer than we have. And it's easily a multi-billion-dollar industry. And, you know, they're trying not to go the way of the dinosaur and become extinct.
You're right about that. Actually, you're talking about the gophers. And
that's it, yeah,
the gophers.
The
gophers, and some have likened them to their relationship to Niles and Frasier, which makes a little bit of sense. You can see the imprint of other sitcoms on this thing. And like you, I was like, I took the role of the captain. Like, this is not jiving with me well because I'm still stuck with the stuff from the 50s, but I couldn't stop looking at it. I grew to like it. And then when I did the research, it gets 2 million views per week. So it's a high viewership for such an adult version of Looney Tunes. So something they're doing it in a way where, you know, it's interesting to the adult audience, and it seems to be working. You know, 2 million is quite substantial Cartoon Network. So I suspect that we're in season two. I will foresee other seasons. You know, it seems to be pretty cool.
But, again, I have to reiterate, how will Cartoon Network mess this one up? You know, it's a track record with them. We're liking it now, so they're obviously going to mess this up somehow. They've done it to everything else we've loved.
You know, you're probably onto something, Joe. I hate to say it, but, you know, there's a lot of things I really – except for the Venture Brothers. They brought the Venture Brothers back for one thing came out. It was really good. Was a Halloween special came out a couple of weeks ago. That was pretty cool, actually. So, but that's on track for at least two more seasons, and that's been around for a while now. So that's one saving grace. And whenever Boondocks come back, I can't wait for that as well. Boondocks should be coming back, as well as Black Dynamite. So they're doing a couple of things the right way. So, but you're right, they're good for messing things up. All right, gentlemen, I want to go to a musical break. I'm going to have to call and put you on hold. I'm going to bring you back. I'll let you hang out with the crew. Let's go to a quick Nerdcore break. This is Slept on Tony, Doom Starks, MF Doom, and Ghostface. We'll be back in a few moments. It's Groove.
Force me to do evil. I created an army suit to protect my people. Escape, vow to be Iron Man the Great. The billionaire Tony Stark to renew your faith. Build Stark Towers, throw the biggest events. Got liquid armor, I can paint on this. Keep it few bad things, I ain't your average hero. Movie premieres, hit me with Denzel and Zero. Six and letting go. Playboy industrialist, face of a ghost. Minds of a technologist, specialist. Modern day speed slang therapist. Specializing weapons, I can blow on terrorists. So, don't sleep, big homie. Real recognize and I can see you, phony. My weak heart can't take it. Got a lifelong sentence. Boy, genius grown up, and I fight with a vengeance.
Get up, step on, Tony.
when I glide on stage. And my heart gently weeps in the iron rib cage. Punched by metals, replaced by elements. My enemies hunted like a tusk on an elephant. Extraordinary, how did my dual identities? Anthony Stark, call me Tone, the top pedigree. Multi-billionaire, military contractor. Crushing my opponents with the strength of a compact, the X Factor. I turn liquids to metals, water to wine. I turn dirt into rose petals. Greatest man walking, blow a bottle of goose. Both for clad iron armor, to beside these suits. I'm so elegant, scientifically intelligent. My lawyers won the case, I won't take the settlement. Money's irrelevant, I need heat to energize. We're taking over the planet, Stark Enterprise.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back again. That was Doom Stark, Slept on Tony, definitely referencing Iron Man. Back in the fall, you're listening to The Comic Shop. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. You know, one quick thing on this Scooby-Doo thing. There's something that was done quite a while ago that I thought was completely humorous. It was definitely an Adult Swim version of Scooby-Doo. I don't know if – I know Daryl remembers this. It had Dave Attell, comedian Dave Attell, and the late Gary Coleman. And there were so many inside jokes. You know that there's a certain meme that Scooby-Doo goes through, the cartoon, where Fred and what's Fred's girlfriend's name, Daryl?
Oh, shoot.
Daphne. Not Velma. Yeah, Daphne. Anytime they usually separate, when there's a mystery afoot, where Daphne and I just said his name, and Fred. They separate. Dave Attell said, I'm going with Daphne, right? And then she said, oh, right? And then Fred gave her that look like, oh, what's going on? You know, so you could tell there was like a little sexual tension there. But I said that. Now that's how Scooby-Doo should be done. So I guess I definitely had to check out the new Scooby-Doo. All right, Doman, doing a quick transition. Something that was prompted by Captain about reboots. Quick conversation about your favorite reboots. Reboots, retoolings, reimaginings, TV and or film. And also, conversely, the worst reboots, reimaginings, TV or film. Daryl, you're up. What do you think would be the best reimagining?
So we're going to go television or movie here? TV
or both.
All right, TV, it's easy. All right, and TV, this one wins it for me hands down. Battlestar Galactica. Hands down. Until the last season where they went slightly off the rails, hello, God, angels, yeah. But until that last season, there's no touching Battlestar, all right? You know, that was great. I loved it. You know, we got Captain after it, and I was digging it. Not many people were, but it posed interesting questions. And now we're going to get this Blood on Chrome coming up. True the net, that remains the television best for me, all right? As far as film, as a reimagining, that's a good one. You know what? I got to give it to the latest Rocky Balboa. It took the concept of the first film, it livened it up, it brought it back, you know? Hey, I'm not a Stallone fan, but you know what? That seemed less of a stereotype than the original films. I'll just say it like that, and you take it however you want, but
you know, it seemed like less of a stereotype to me. Worst reimaginings. Could we count Heroes second season as a bad reimagining of the first?
Yeah.
No.
Maybe.
You know, the new Fantasy Island, that sucked. You know, hell. You know, I love Star Trek, but you know, Enterprise, it's good, but when compared to the other members of the series, you have to wonder what the hell they were thinking with some of that stuff. And movie-wise, reimagining, hey, the Star Wars first three movies, you know, Darth Vader is a whiny bitch. That's all you need to know. They made Darth Vader into a whiny bitch. That's all you need to know. There it goes. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
All right, Ashley, the caller, your name again, I'm sorry.
Chad.
Chad, oh yeah, I should know you by now. Chad, what are your thoughts on this? Just any good reimaginings, reboots, or bad reboots?
Oh, that's a good question. Let's see. I'm going to have to go with reboot or reimagining. I hated. This might cause a fight. I hated Battlestar Galactica. I'm so sorry.
Yay.
I know. I think it's because I believe it was the captain earlier who may have said about why he's not crazy about Warner Brothers, and maybe that wasn't him, and I apologize if it wasn't. But he said he didn't like the new Warner Brothers because it just wasn't what he grew up with. I grew up with the original Battlestar Galactica, and I loved it. And, I mean, I know this new one has its place, and people are crazy about it, but I tried to watch it, and it made me throw up, and I think crack a bunch of times. It just didn't do it for me. The best, I'm going to go to video games because that's a realm I've been in for a while. And
okay.
I don't know if you guys ever tried, but they reimagined Doom, the old PC game. They reimagined it for the Xbox, and they did a hell of a good job. I mean, they not just the graphics, but they made it terrifying. I mean, it's a very scary game, and if you haven't played it, it's worth it. But those would be the two I'd have to go with.
Excellent choices, actually. I know the captain has his feet. We were talking about this, and we had a little bit of a discussion because I couldn't believe it. But I see there's someone on his side because the lightning has struck with Daryl and myself because I love the new BSG. Captain, your thoughts? You seem to be in agreement with Chad.
Yeah, I really didn't care for the reboot with the Battlestar Galactica. I saw what it was. I see what it is. It was one of those things where someone, you know, it's like, all right, you bought me steak. I understand it's steak. But right now I want lasagna. You know, I it's just one of those type of things. You know, it just didn't do it for me. The old one with Mr. Lorne Greene, like, you know, we've seen, you know, with Bonanza and everything else, that's just where my head was at. And I just didn't think this one, the reboot, was better. That's just my opinion as far as that's concerned, you know. Pertaining to that. Now, let's talk about Star Trek. Now, when they first came out, when they did the reboots with Star Trek, TV version we're talking now, TV, I was skeptical. Because, again, you might as well call me Mr. Nostalgic then, to put it true. It shouldn't be Captain. Maybe call me Mr. Nostalgia. Anyway,
you're talking about the next generation. You're talking about the next generation,
yeah,
right?
I'm going to get to that. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So.
Caller, hold on. We'll get to you in a moment. Go ahead.
I was very skeptical. I was like, oh, man, they're going to mess up this. This was my thing. Then I saw it. I said, okay, these are good. They did a good job, except for Deep Space Nine. I thought Deep Space Nine was trash.
Daryl's blood,
you know,
is boiling. Go ahead.
Yeah, his blood could boil. You know, so it's good today. Good radio. You know, I just thought it was essentially trash. You know, it was just, okay, as far as the movies when it comes to Star Trek, I thought, you know, early on, you know, you were fiending for Star Trek, you know, the Trekkies. So the first couple of movies, of course, you had, you know, original cast. Everybody's young still. So, I like those. The last Star Trek movie that they came out with, I thought was okay. It wasn't something for me just totally to dump on. I just thought it was okay. It wasn't good. I just thought it was okay. Now, let me see what else. What else I would think was good. That last Planet of the Apes was
Nice.
All right.
Give
that
him
was
credit
good.
For that one.
The last Planet of the Apes was very good. The one before that was, what was it, Marky Mark or whatever? That was some trash.
Oh.
That was trash. We all know, we all agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
No. And the movie, probably what I would like to see redone, but it has to be nailed or I'd have the same issues, is Buck Rogers. That I would love to see redone. Okay? But it has. They have to nail it. They have to nail it, okay? Because I'm somewhat emotionally tied to Buck Rogers to a certain extent. That's all I'm going to say right now. Yes.
You know?
No,
yes.
Colonel Derry.
Hold on, Kyle. We got a call. Hold on.
Yes.
Let me get to the call, and then I'll give you my opinion briefly. Caller, the Comic Shop, welcome. Your name and where you're calling from, 202.
Yo, family, what's going on? It's Technology, man. How's everybody?
Hey, dude, what's up?
All right. So I'm going to tread into the dangerous territory. I might have to agree with the great Daryl B., or disagree, rather. First, great reboots. Of course, Dark Knight. You know, they kept the darkness and the angst of the 90s versions, but they deleted the corny humor, which I appreciated. I think it reflects the cynicism of the times. In the 90s, the economy was still good. People were happy, the whole thing. But, you know, this new Dark Knight, I think it did what it needed to do. Even though I had a lot of problems with X-Men First Class, I think they did a hell of a job overall. They reinterpreted the character, especially X and Magneto. I think they did an excellent job. It was kind of a bromance, which kind of annoyed me a little bit. You know, overall... I think it, you know, and that one scene when Logan was in the bar, they tried to recruit him, and he basically told him that, you know, he flipped them off. That was worth the ticket price right there. That was worth the whole $15, whatever I paid to see it. So those are the best ones. The worst ones, of course, in my opinion, is Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I haven't heard you guys talk very much about that. A coworker who read the book hit me to it. I saw the original. I thought it was dope. And then I saw the English version. I was like, they didn't have to do this. They really didn't.
Hey, Trick, did you ever get a chance to see the Swedish version?
Well, that's what I saw first.
That's what I saw first.
And I was just like, I mean, it was a slow start. But once they kind of laid the whole premise out, I mean, it was a roller coaster from there. So when I saw the English, I was like, why? Other than a monetary piece, why did you have why? You know what I'm saying? It's like, it was a masterpiece, man. Leave it alone. And then the last one, this is where I get into the landmine, is Battlestar Soap Opera.
Here we go.
I'm like, dude, you took the pioneers traveling across the Old West getting attacked by the Chrome Indians to this guiding white shit. It's like, dude, what? Why all the drama? What? They just lost me. I know what they're trying to do, but Lauren Green and like Cap said, you know, they had a premise and they went astray. And when some people dug it, it was just too much feelings, too much emotions for me. I didn't get enough of the battle part. So that's it.
Well, you know, and Alpha Nerd, I'll let you get in on this in a second. This opens up so many cans of worms because all in my head, I'm thinking the new Knight Rider, the new Doctor Who, really done well done. You know, there's been remakes all over the place. And right. I just heard this weekend that the Warriors redo, that is finally, someone came up with their right mind and finally put the kibosh on that. Using the gangs of L.A., you know? So, you know, Cap, if they come out with trash in terms of Buck Rogers, I hope they learn their lesson from the Warriors and just not do it. And besides, Erin Gray, yo, she's still a babe.
Yeah, I was going to mention that just for our listening audience and to the gentleman on the line. You could go to YouTube and check out this treatment that I wish was actually brought to fruition. It's a, I guess maybe a 10-minute treatment with Gil Gerard and Erin Gray as the parents of Buck Rogers. And it was done in black and white. And it had to be done a few years ago. I think it was done probably for a sci-fi series. And the premise, because we know that the Buster Crabbe version of Buck Rogers was a black and white kind of thing, and it kind of harkened back to that. So that would have been an excellent reboot, but it kind of, I guess the idea was there, and it didn't follow through with it. But that would have been a great premise, and it was great to see Lauren Tweez, wrong actress, Erin Gray and Gil Gerard attached to that property. But go to YouTube, you can check it out. I thought that the Mortal Kombat internet series or YouTube series was interesting. When you go back to the movies in the early 90s, you can see the hokum in it. You can see the hokum in the movies. But the YouTube series is pretty good. And I believe they're going forward with some kind of film. So that should be interesting. What was mentioned already, Batman, The Dark Knight. Looking at the new Dark Knight, the Christopher Nolan version, you can see the flaws in the Tim Burton version. I can't even look. Tim Burton's versions look like Adam West to me. And I love Adam West for what it is. But when you look at the flaws, Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze, come on. There's some problems there. BSG, we're going to have problems. I have fondness, respect, and great nostalgic feelings for the Lauren Green version of Battlestar Galactica. Dirk Benedict, that whole crew, it still holds up. It still holds up. Heck, they still kept the same ships. They didn't reboot the ships for some reason. But I can understand the soap opera thing. Richard Hatch they brought back. He was more interesting as this psycho leader, in my opinion, with this new iteration or this new incarnation that he's ever been. I wish they had brought more people from that old series into the new series. I haven't seen Blood and Chrome yet. I haven't seen it yet. I will. I know it's going to be. Is it going to be an exclusive internet series?
Yeah, Darryl? It's going to be the Mashima. Mashima. I always get that name wrong. That Mashima thing on YouTube. They're releasing it in 10-minute increments each week. And then later on, Sci-Fi is going to collect it as a movie-type thing.
Star Wars, of course, I think has to be an abomination. Star Wars, that is, going back into the prequel series, the three-part prequel series of Star Wars. Just horrible. Now, what will happen with Disney's acquisition of Lucasfilms? I'm hearing they may want to bring back the Beatles on this. I'm being colloquial, but meaning Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher and all these and all these other people. Mark Hamill, of course. But Mark Hamill is so connected to the Joker for me. I don't know. If they bring that crew back. They better do it right. And they're also talking about J.J. Abrams and who else? Two heavyweights. They're connecting to perhaps this 2015 version, if we're looking at a time. 2015
yeah, but give,
version.
Give Captain credit, all right? Captain called it when we talked about last week. How with as much outrage as was on the net, look at Disney do a complete 180. Captain called it. Because as soon as Michael Arndt, the writer of Toy Story 3, was tapped to write the script for the seventh movie, the first thing he said is, I want to have Luke, I want to have Han, I want to have Leia. They're not going to be in the action scenes, but they're the ruling government now. It's going to focus on their kids and possibly the Jedi Academy. So, Cap, yo, points to you, man. You called it that these weak-willed executives would go back on their word one time.
We have another call also. Real quickly, Jon Favreau. Jon Favreau and J.J. Abrams together have an attachment. Now, if they do this, they have to do it right. Now, Abrams, I cannot – I love Abrams' work. on TV. Especially, I'm a big Fringe fan. It's not, he can do no wrong per se, but you know, you're dealing with the mythology here. And listen, he tackled Star Trek, but I don't know if they're going to give him Star Trek and Star Wars. That's like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether to be envious. I don't know what you would call that. You know, let's open up the lines, but that might be a little bit unfair almost for him to have that kind of. That's like the opposite ends of the geek universe for him to have control of that. That might be a little too much for him. I think that's just too, that's too advantageous for one person. I'm going to say it. You know, I don't know.
That's a Wolfchild move. Wolfchild banker move.
Yeah, it's a little too much. You know, you got to pass the bread around. Okay, hold on.
Jedi and Trekkies come together. Nah, it's right. Not going to happen.
Caller, welcome to the Comic Shop. 201, what's up?
Hey, guys, it's Q-Storm calling. I just had a quick question because it's very noisy here and I don't want to be too disruptive, but if you guys are still talking about reboots, I just wanted to get your take on the Spider-Man reboot. I don't know if you guys mentioned that one yet.
Can I do this? Can I get in on this? All right. Listen, the reason why this reboot didn't work is you guys got Peter Parker wrong. When you get Peter Parker wrong, then Spider-Man is not going to work. Peter Parker didn't invent his own web. He stole them from Oscorp. Peter Parker stole the ID of another kid to get into the thing, you know, and by creating his own criminal later on. You know, Peter Parker can skateboard. He's no longer just a nerd. He's an outcast now. What? Peter Parker was a kid who couldn't do anything right before the spider bite. All right? When he got the spider bite, he learned confidence. But unfortunately, with the confidence came hubris, which ended up getting Uncle Ben killed. Since then, he decided to devote his life on living up to his uncle's memory, and with great power comes great responsibility. How could you flub that up? This movie did. Thank you, Q-Storm, for reminding me how much I hate the new Amazing Spider-Man. Back to you, Afriner.
All right, you know, quickly, actually, I'm going to have to disagree with you on this. I see the lightning has returned, has receded.
Shazam.
I actually liked this version of Spider-Man. It had its flaws. I thought that the actor who portrayed Peter Parker actually looked like he was drawn from a Steve Ditko comic book. I thought he is the most resembling of Peter Parker, more so than Tobey Maguire. I thought his acting was quite effective. The fact that they went from Gwen Stacy back to Gwen Stacy. Somebody's mic is. I gotta put you on hold. A lot of background noise. All right. The fact that they went to Gwen Stacy first, like the comic book, and not Mary Jane. I think Mary Jane's going to make an appearance in the next Spider-Man. And Captain Stacy, portrayed by Dennis Leary, his portrayal of Stacy was dead on. The only thing I did not like about this Spider-Man was they got the origin screwed up. I mean, the whole with great power comes great responsibility part. How he ended up getting these powers, being a showboat, and when it really counted, he didn't intervene. That worked in the comic books, and they pretty much did that, reenacted that in the Tobey Maguire version of Spider-Man. This new Spider-Man, he was in some kind of deli. It didn't make any sense. He ran away from home. It didn't make any sense with why he became Spider-Man, as far as going into superheroics. The old trusted and true version, where he becomes a wrestler, even becoming a wrestler wasn't dated because wrestling is very popular. So you could understand him getting these powers, becoming a wrestler, even though that was done 50 years ago. People are still wrestling in 2012. Wrestling is as popular as it has ever been. So for them to do the wrestling thing, for him to let the criminal go,
and then that same person being the criminal that ended up killing Uncle Ben, that's a key component to Peter Parker's origin. And they completely went left with it when it was unnecessary. That's the one mistake in the new Spider-Man. That's probably the only mistake that I have that is problematic, I will confess. But I still felt that it was a pretty effective movie as far as a reboot. What are your thoughts on that, Captain? Daryl, bringing that up.
Well, I thought it was only okay. When we came out of the theater and we watched it, you know, I had said to you, I said, I like the character, so I'm not going to really beat up the movie too much. There's not much to really beat up. It just wasn't, it was like two notches below where it should be for me, as far as what I saw in the movie. You know, and I said, I'm not going to beat it up. I said, I like, you know, Spider-Man. I'm not going to just beat him up. I could have beat him up a lot, and I still refuse to beat it up as far as that reboot is concerned. I thought it was okay. It was just okay. That's where it was. It wasn't a bad movie. It wasn't a great movie. It wasn't a good movie. It was okay. You know, would I recommend people to go see it? I didn't recommend. I didn't tell anybody to say, oh, you have to go see Amazing Spider-Man. Didn't do that. I didn't do that. You know, but at the same time, when people ask me about the movie, I said, I thought it was okay. And that's the same place where I am with that movie now, to this given point. I just thought it was an okay movie. I thought they could have done a lot more with it. I thought, you know, the character interaction, you could have felt a bit more for the characters, you know, drawing a little more emotion where I could have got into it a little bit more, you know. That's it. That's all.
All right, let's go to a quick musical break. When we return, I want to talk more about Skyfall, the latest James Bond thriller, and this Idris Elba as Bond talk. I have an idea, gentlemen. I have an idea, and it deals with Mark Miller.
I'm going to write
on this one because it should be done as I see it, because I am correct on this. Even the great Daryl B might agree with me. He might agree with me with my pitch. All right, let's groove a little. Let's groove. This is Cybernetic Circuits, a fan favorite, I think. Optimus Rhyme. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove.
Fixing tamidomers on my payroll. I spent 20 G's on this vocab upgrade. Phylogenetical cybernetic tongue muscles are good for the flow and great for other things. Now I mean, human chips heat to 50 gigs. Optimus impossibly efficient, but 1%. Thermodynamics designed by devious engineers. Every last one expels forgivable ceiling niggas. Elaborate systems are probing space for them shows. Titanium lawyers by Mother Nature's loophole. Cold purple, hurtle in the heads and I'll pass bug killer. I downloaded that patch, it made me iller. Pupils can stick if you can see monocle irises. I hired an analysis to see what my virus is. What? It's not what I expected. Infected by the whacker called conspiracy. Get here with the infected.
Ain't nothing left but these cybernetic circuits to work with. I'm bursting binary code without rehearsing. I'm bursting permanent collisions for your operating system. You want me to stop? But what's the difference? Resistance is useless within this auto-beat monopoly and you're another victim. We break in, spitting more than just phlegm. Taking everything hostage, no ransom. I'm logged on from net to .com. Sliding through all your measures like I'm singing a song. Your firewall just got hit by a bomb. My soundscapes create earthquakes from Seattle to Cybertron. Just remain calm. There's no need for the static, see? These auto-beats can beat you automatically. You're now a casualty of transforming situations. Forget complacence because bomb is what you're facing.
I got 5 hard drives with 89 gigabytes.
I eat databases, networks, and websites.
I got vicious viruses that devour these satellites.
Encryption, deciphering all that you read and write.
Ignite with 5 million horses under the hood.
Conscious artificial intelligence up to no good.
Maybe delivering doses is most misunderstood.
It's the Optimus, you wouldn't step to steal if you could.
I got 5 hard drives with 89 gigabytes.
I eat databases, networks, and websites.
I got these vicious viruses that devour these satellites.
Encryption, deciphering all that you read and write.
Ignite with 5 million horses under the hood.
Conscious artificial intelligence up to no good.
Maybe delivering doses as most is misunderstood.
It's the Optimus,
you wouldn't step to steal if you could.
All right,
right, folks, we're back again. Welcome to the Comic Shop. Call-in number 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. That was Cybernetic Circuits by Optimus Rhyme, giving you the best of nerdcore Muzak. Gentlemen, let's talk about Skyfall, the latest James Bond thriller. And let me open this up for a moment and give you my idea, give you my pitch, and you can defecate on it if you will. Anyway, there's more. First of all, I haven't seen it yet. I do plan to see it. I see podcast, our friend of the friend in the room, Podcast Juice. He's saying it's a snooze fest. I hope not. The sister that's in the movie, Naomi Harris, is not hard on the eyes. For whatever reason, I don't see her on the cover of Maxim. I'm seeing some other Bond girls, so she's not getting her cred already, and she's a phenomenal actress. But be that as it may, there's already talk of Idris Elba taking on the helm or taking on the role of James Bond, and I have a problem with that. I'm getting tired of these quote-unquote white establishment heroes simply being taken over by black actors. We need to have, there should be a separate British spy mythos from Bond that could be Idris Elba. Now, I love Mark Scotsman, famed Scotsman, comic book creator, Mark Miller's Secret Service. For the listening audience, definitely check out this latest, I think it's on issue 4 or 5, simply called Secret Service. And now Mark Miller made statements, Darryl, about flooding, you know, he's going to do his best to put black folk in comic books and, you know, a new era and all this stuff, right? His characters in Secret Service are white, but they can easily be black in that comic book version. If they were able to intersperse his Secret Service world with the Bond universe and let Idris Elba be a different spy under the British Secret Service with his own thing, be a colleague of James Bond, that would be more attractive than just putting a black face and calling him James Bond. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, and the problem with...
What are your thoughts, Darryl? Before you take a dump on it, what are your thoughts?
All right, the problem with that is the whole reason people go to see these movies is James Bond. You can't... It would feel too much like, hey, this is James Bond's African brother. Let him go. You know, people will go into that thinking they're going to see James Bond. You know, and that's why I love the Triple X series. All right, I love the Vin Diesel one. I like the Ice Cube one. Why? It took the traditional.
Oh.
Hold on. Here's your rebuttal. All right, for current day sensibilities, here comes the secret spy in his tux walking into a freaking metal rave. Go like, yo, you know, that isn't what current audiences were looking for there, you know, to fit into that crowd, you know, to be a secret agent there. Honestly, Idris Elba would make a great spy thing, but you can't have it attached to Bond because people will always say, oh, I guess this is the affirmative action James Bond. You know, it would kill me to have Idris Elba reduced to that. But at the same time, these are the type of roles that if you're not Denzel Washington and you're not Will Smith as an actor of color, you're not getting. And if you do get it, they parody it so much, so you end up having a blank man. You end up having an undercover brother, you know? Like I said, I know where it's born from, and what you say makes sense. I'm just telling you how it's going to be viewed. And that's not even just outside African-American circles. That'll be viewed by blacks themselves that way, and that's a shame. Back to you.
Well, I think you're mixing up my point. if they listen, right now there's talk of putting him in as Bond. Now, there's two ways of looking at it. Either 007 is just a designation, which means they'd have to change change the mythos in some way, where he's just – I mean, at least with George Lazenby for Her Majesty's Secret Service, 1969, which was lampooned 40 years ago, now people revisit it as a pretty good version of Bond. He even said this never happened to the other guy. He does that looking into the camera. But that was a pretty good version of Bond, actually. And that was another white guy. Matter of fact, we forgot that Daniel Craig, when he first came out, they said, well, you know, he's not really, quote unquote, good looking enough to be James Bond.
He's not tall enough.
Now, and he's too blonde. James Bond's always supposed to be this dark haired guy. Now, my thing is, this is my point. My point is not to have Idris Elba as Bond. Just making him 007 all of a sudden, it's just too simple. I'm tired of, quote unquote, white establishment heroes. And I'm not just, you know, on people just because they're white. It's not the issue. The issue is let that be the hero. Let him be who he is, and stop superimposing a black face on a established white hero. It's more respectful if, like I said, they do this all the time, Daryl. They always introduce some kind of new character, or they dovetail a new character where we can say, okay, what's this guy about? He's not Bond. He's introduced through Bond, and he can be a totally different Bond. He doesn't have, the whole premise is he's not Bond. He's only introduced in the Bond series, then we can go somewhere else with it. It expands the Bond universe. But the way you're talking about it, see, that's my point. I think what you say is correct if Idris steps in the role, oh, all of a sudden James Bond is black. That's not right. Introduce him as his own thing. And listen, Triple X was good too. Triple X was a man of color who was a hipper spy, but Vin Diesel got a big head and dropped the ball on that. He's coming back to it, but, I mean, you know, it is what it is. If they're going to be Bond, if they're going to be in the Bond series, let him be another character in the British Secret Service.
Good point.
His own style, his own thing. That's all I'm talking about. Don't put a black face and call him 007.
But with me, if they lay the foundation down, that's cool, but you can't just introduce him straight from the Bond mythos, Idris Elba, and people be wondering, well, I came here to see Bond. That's the whole thing. Now, I see where you're coming from. It's just what people are used to. You want to turn them into a 180 or go 90 degrees from it, that's cool. We'll just see how Hollywood, how England handles it.
All right, quickly, we've got about a minute or so left, gentlemen. We're going to have to go next door to Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. Captain, any thoughts on this whole Idris Elba deal, Skyfall?
Well, here's the issue. You have the Jason Bourne universe, which is that's CIA. Okay, then you have, you know, whatever Triple X they were doing over there as far as that type of situation. James Bond is actually British with that situation. With Idris Elba, you know, yes, he has a British accent and he's a great actor and everything else. You probably would have to bring him up through another type of agency altogether and make that type of movie. Don't necessarily have anything to do with 007, MI6, MI5, MI4. That's all British, you know, intelligence. You attach him to Interpol or something like that. You know, there's different type of agencies, and you make him come up out of that. That's just my opinion. And you develop that whole universe and start that whole thing going, just like as we have Jason Bourne coming through CIA and everything else. That's all.
All right, gentlemen. The Bourne thing is exactly what we're talking about. They introduced – he wasn't Jason Bourne, this guy. Anyway, he was Hawkeye. Anyway, all right, gentlemen. until next week, Dow, as always, we appreciate you coming through. Let's go next door to the comic shop. The Afternoon. All right. In a few moments. Thanks, Daryl.
Spark with a beard?
I think not.
Mm-hmm.
You're asking me to vouch for you. Well, the funny thing about vouching for someone, James, is that when that someone shows himself to be less than what was promised, every decision you take from that point on is second-guessed. And that, in my line of work, is suicide. And besides, why does a cool, mellow fellow like yourself want to hang around with a bunch of stuffy old white guys?
Same reason you want to hang around those stuffy old white guys. Power. Connection. But let's keep it real. I'm just a cool, mellow fellow. Just shucking and jiving. Crip walking, basketball playing, singing, dancing, and taking out your garbage. That's what I am to you.
You're right. You are African American. And myself and my friends, for the most part, don't care for the company of African Americans. Quite frankly, we're entertained by you. We're thrilled by your high-flying acrobatics on the basketball court. That wonderful sense of rhythm you have. Your animal athleticism. But apart from that, we have no use for you. Understand? I mean, let's face it, James. Do you set a place at your dinner table for your pit bulls? Now, is this keeping it real enough for you?
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funkin' lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold, born in a cosmos, where no time and space to exist, vibe in the midst of the chaos, mortals label me as a logger.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, D-Bert, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
You know, folks, Captain Kirk says behind the scenes, best intro ever. That was Michael Jai White's Blood and Bone, Blood and Bone. Definitely check it out. All right, folks, welcome to After Nerd featuring Captain Kirk, a.k.a. After Nerd Radio. The call-in number, once again, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. We have a lot to talk about, folks, a lot to talk about. But first, because of time constraints, let's just do the music thing. Let's just groove a little. This is Keep On Looking. Keep On Looking by Sharon Jones and the Dat Kings. We'll be back in a few moments.
Once a good man, he had me.
folks, Sharon Jones, the Dap Kings. Listen, I think I might have been cakewalking on that one, Captain. I think I was doing the cakewalk, shouting out the Oracle. That was rough. I don't think you folks understand what that was. You're too accustomed to Chris Brown and the Minstrels. I'm just saying. Folks, welcome once again, Afro Radio featuring Captain Kirk. Speaking of the Captain, it's your time, sir. It's your time. Let's get to it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
That great intro that we had, that is how the Republican Party felt towards Black, Latin, and women. And, of course, it backfired.
That's something, isn't it? That's a tough intro, isn't it? I think a lot of our listeners, it's the essence, isn't it?
Hard.
Folks, we have a lot to get into. Sally V, I'm watching you. I see you. Put down the Fruit Loops. Absorb the funk in your cereal. Put down the Fruit Loops. You're from the inner sanctum. Stop it. Inner sanctum. Come on. Inside joke, folks. All right, Captain, let's just get into it. Time is afoot. The topics, the discourse. Well, first up, you know what? You know, we spoke about Barack Obama's win last week. Phenomenal. A shutout. If it was a basketball game, it would be a shutout. The media had you wrongfully gripped to your seat when they knew all along this was going to be a blowout. Obviously. Yesterday they finally came in with the final count for Florida. I believe he has over 330 electoral votes to Romney's 200-something. It was a blowout. But you were led to believe this is truly a neck-and-neck thing. No, it wasn't. The media are fooling you, folks. That's why it is imperative to listen to what we say. And others. We're not the only ones. We may be sages. But we're going to give it to you hard, and we're going to give it to you truthfully. But the media, they're really pulling someone's leg. All along, this was already, the handwriting was on the wall, Captain, 6 months ago. The statisticians told you what this was going to be, and it pretty much turned out to be exactly what they said it was going to be 6 months prior. Anyway, as expected, some are not happy with this win. The horns are showing, Captain. Racist teens, tweens, and twits. Check out that alliteration. Tweens, twits are twittering. Come on now. Racist. All over the country. So I think we should address that. What is going on, Captain, with people not being able to handle this second term? Now, I want you to say your piece, but I want to play a clip of this young lady that lost her job because she just can't handle it. She just can't handle it. Your thoughts, Captain?
Well, I think also some of the pundits at Fox News looked like they just couldn't handle it also, if you looked at their facial expression when it was actually taking place. And I think these are the same individuals, and if we recall the movie Hunger Games, that these particular individuals were running around saying, oh, why did this person have to be this color? Even though in the book it says, it doesn't really get directly into color, but it gets into that the person was a dark-complected person. So you can imagine that, you know, they're not exactly white, you know. So I just think these are the same type of individuals, and they're scattered across America, a lot of them down south, which figures, for those of you that are uninitiated, the South has a history. Look up strange fruit. Afro-Nerd could get into it more with you. You know, there was a lot of lynching that was going on down south. So the southern states have a history with very strong racism towards black people. Not saying that there's not racists all over the country. I'm just saying that the southern states have a very strong steroid-like history when it comes to racism with black people. So a lot of these tweets were coming from down south. So it's just, you know, you have these individuals where they would say that the country at this point, at this given time, is somewhat divided. I don't know if it's somewhat that's the case. It's really divided. Maybe just that some of these individuals are out of touch. The rise of the Latin people, the rise of the woman. And you also see it in the movies. Look what's going on. You see more women with dominant roles to a certain extent. They're playing heroes and everything else, beating up men. And also, here's the next thing. In your workplace, men, holler back at me. In your workplace, you see women coming in, starting now, and it's been going on for a while, commanding a better salary than your lazy self, your lazy feminized self. She got all the testosterone. That's all. Back over to you, Sir Afro-Nerd.
Yeah, you know, before we go to this clip, it's a funny thing. For many years, the core beneficiaries of affirmative action have been women. Hasn't been black people. As far as numbers go, women have been the ones that have been gaining through affirmative action more so than ethnic minorities. Women. But, you know, the story or the meme or the trope has been black folk are always put out there as affirmative action recipients when, again, the core group have been women as a minority. And this has been going on for 40-plus years, but you never really hear it in public discourse. You don't really hear it from the media, actually. So anyway, let's go deeper into this whole thing with these racist tweets. A particular young woman, 22 years of age, Denise Helms. Her head is on the block now, but she seems not to care, which is another element in this, another thing in this elixir. She does not care that your president is black. she doesn't care about saying disparaging words about your president. So let's go into that. And also, before the clip, there's actually – talk about technological sophistication, Captain. There's actually a website and a program that has been able to quantify where the racist tweets are coming from. And as you said before, looking at a map, there's literally a map where it highlights where these racist tweets are coming from. The glut are coming from, as you just said, the southern part of the United States, a smattering on the west, a smattering on the northeast, but in the mid northwest, not that many, virtually none. But then they don't tweet as much in North Dakota, allegedly. And actually, there's a strong glut on the upper west coast, Oregon specifically. I think there's a strong militia movement in Oregon, so that might explain that. Anyway, this is about the one particular woman, not even tweeting, I think. Well, actually, I'm sorry. She did tweet, but I think she also put something on Facebook very disparaging toward your president. Let's get into it. Denise Helms, a-hole. I said it. Hold on.
You probably saw a lot of posts on Facebook about the election, but the Secret Service is investigating a California woman because of a Facebook post she made on Election Day. Denise Helms posted, quote, another 4 years of this N-word, maybe he will get assassinated this term, end quote. Now, she eventually removed it from her wall, but says she's not sorry.
The assassination part is kind of harsh, and I'm not saying, like, I would go do that or anything like that by any means, But if it was to happen, I don't think I would care one bit.
Really? Wouldn't bug you if someone assassinated the president?
Well, it's not something I would dwell on, no. It's not something like I would be upset about, no.
The Secret Service says it's aware of the post but would not comment further. If it decides the post is a credible threat, Helms could be charged with a felony.
Wow, Captain. This is deep. She threatened the president. Then she backtracked, as you would always see. Even another thing, too, that's a growing meme. My account was hacked. My account was hacked. Really? Really? Getting sick of that. But, you know, this is where I've mentioned this on a number of occasions, Captain. If it's not going to be about the man's policy, then you lose me. You lose all credibility. So be as racist as you want to be. Because it boils down that the nation and the world knows that you are FOS. I'm not going to tell the audience what the acronym is, but you can figure it out. The world and the nation know at that point you are strictly FOS. Because I can't argue with you when it comes to the racial thing. I can't go down to your primitive level. The captain knows I am against primitivism. We are creating cell phones that we can speak to people half a world away. We have created flight. We've cracked the DNA code, the human genome. All these things we've done. All these scientific wonders we have created, and you are still scared of a little melanin. I can't feel you, Captain, on that. I can't even touch you. I don't talk about primitivism. We don't conduct that type of talk on AfroNerd. So to me, I'm going to pull the Galactus on you. You're buzzing around me, but I don't really see you. You lost all credibility. They fired her ass, Captain, and rightfully so. There's no place for that. She had no feeling. She can't even connect with a person's humanity, allegedly. This is a highly esteemed, well-educated man of color, and she's saying, "Oh, I would want him taken out. You want his family ruined? I wasn't a fan of Bush, but I still respect his humanity. I still respect the man's humanity." This woman can't even, whatever he's doing is so bad. What is he doing that's so bad? The only thing he did that is so bad, Catherine, is that he's black. That's it. At that point, no credibility. Any thoughts before we move along?
Well, as I said many times on this show before, that tribalism bypasses conscious thought. Well, this is what we call extreme tribalism to the point where it became racism, which bypassed the conscious thought, where the conscious should be focused on. You cannot threaten the president. Everyone here in America should know this by now. They teach you that in, like, you know, fifth, sixth grade. Everyone knows this. You might be able to threaten the person across the street. It's a threat, but you cannot play that game, that foolishness, that nonsense with the president. There you go. There you have it, AfroNerd. Back over.
Yeah, one more thing also. Billionaire Peter Brent, his son, 18 years of age, he also tweeted out something about threatening the president. Now, again, Brent is a billionaire. His son tweets from his estate in the Hamptons. Why are you angry? Why are you angry? You were born into the motherlode. You're the son of a billionaire tweeting from the Hamptons, from your Hampton estate, and you still get twisted up over a little bit of melanin. You're a clown, Captain. You are a clown. I know that our listenership would like me to be a bit more aggressive with the racial stuff, and I really dig deep with black and brown dysfunctionalism. I do dig deep because I am unaffected by this racist stuff to a certain degree. I expect it. I can't help you, but I want our own folk to straighten up. So I do go into that talk every once in a while, but this is just stupid. I can't respond to this. I'm Galactus. I don't even see you. Sorry. I want to pull the Afro-Nerd card on you. I don't even see you. You're caught up on a little bit of melanin. Come on. I touch you, you got the cooties. Stop it. Stop it.
That's good. That was good.
You know, the problem is, Captain, I don't want to get grotesque, but they brought the black and brown phallus into the ecosystem, and now they're struck. I don't know if our listenership caught that. The country is darkening, and we talk about the Rothschilds, as you talk about them a bit. We talk about the Illuminati on occasion. We talk about the power structure. But you can talk about power. You can talk, you know, this happens in so many science fiction memes. You can do all these things, but you can't fight nature. You can't fight biology. And I'm saying it to be somewhat comical, so I'm doing it more, I'm using some wordplay there. But the black and brown phallus has been introduced into the ecosystem, Captain. The nation is darkening, and you can't fight nature, can you? I'm just saying. What are your thoughts about that? I threw that out there.
Well, that's obvious at this given point. It's obvious at a given point. Actually, at this given point is also, too, in essence, it's actually a moot point. You see what's on the move. You see what's on the move right now. It's women and Latin people. Notice I'm not saying really black people. Notice I'm not saying that. That's a whole other story. It's a whole probably even another show. We could get into that on another day, actually. I could talk from now to maybe next week pertaining to that whole situation, which I'll probably end up actually doing. But back to the point. That's just by the by. You could see exactly what's happening. Just as you said, the ecosystem. The game has changed. The board has changed. The pieces on the board have actually changed. So now you have to move different. You have to respect what you used to disrespect before. Going forward, that's the reality of the system right now. Nature has spoken.
Quickly, I want to mention something else that actually I had to check my own Western mindset, Captain. I don't know if I told you this. I had to check my own Western mindset. Hear me on this, folks. This should be what I'm going to introduce to our audience should be far greater news in the public sphere by the media. It was just actually I heard it as a passing glance. I heard it as a passing glance a few days ago by Fareed Zakariyyeh, CNN's Fareed Zakariyyeh, heard it as a passing glance. And when I dug deeper into this story, Captain, it totally, if there was ever a question, it totally debunks any notion of black inferiority. So you black folks better straighten up once I tell you this story. Zakariyyeh talked about this initiative that was brought to a village in Ethiopia. What they did as an experiment, and I'll talk about the Western mindset, my Western mindset that I had to check myself. But what they did is this group dropped solar-powered Motorola tablets in an illiterate village in Ethiopia without any kind of prompting. They just dropped these solar powered tablets. Shouting out Sally B, she has a tablet. They dropped, I don't know, several hundred, several thousand in this village that is just completely illiterate. Guess what happened? Guess what happened? Let's go to the tape, and then we'll unpack. This is CNN. Hold on.
And now for the last look. Ethiopia has one of the highest illiteracy rates in the world. The village of Wanchi is no exception. Nobody there can read or write. That's why I was astonished when I saw what Nicholas Negroponte's One Laptop Per Child organization did there. They dropped 20 Motorola tablets, preloaded with mostly literacy apps, in the village with no instructions. Within 4 minutes, one boy had found the on-off switch, an unknown entity in these parts. He then taught the others. Within a few days, they were each using about 50 apps each per day. They were learning to write letters. And within a month, they were learning to speak them too. Not just the big ones, but the little ones too. All together now? Amazing. These children had barely ever seen any letters before, let alone the Roman alphabet. Now they had discovered their way to learning the alphabet song. It's a sign of great hope for the 100 million children around the world who will never go to school.
All right, Fareed Zakaria. Captain, I want to unpack this, but I want to take a quick musical break. Again, no teachers, no prompting. They just put some technology into the ecosphere. They put technology into an illiterate African ecosphere, and they were hacking it, Captain. I think that's a frightening proposition. Black folks better recognize. They better recognize. And this is what you're going to hear, this type of talk. This is why we want you folks to push this show. Because I think that this particular thing, this particular experiment, and I'm putting this is where the westernization came in. It should not be an experiment. But they chose to interject or intercede in this illiterate village as if it were putting in, introducing something into an animal experiment. These are human beings. Of course, sentient beings would be able to figure out some stuff. Of course. But you know what, folks? Before I unleash, before the captain unleashes, before the captain unpacks, let's go to a quick groove. Let me calm myself. Let me calm my nerves before we dig in this. This is what happened to hip-hop, Captain. I'm going to give it to you. You're listening to Chris Brown and All the Fools. People are still doing real hip-hop, folks, and here it is. This is DJ Jazzy Jeff and CL Smooth, All I Know. All I Know. Let's groove. We'll be back in a few moments.
Make it move like I want to move with them horns. Let them play with them strings while I spit the life for kings. Put a cud in it, stud with it, we at it. Dudes that was meant to have it. Fans want to reach out and grab it. I'm just an ordinary man with an unordinary lifestyle. Seen early, I would live as a child. I was conceived a mistake, but through God is really all it takes for me to be born and make the earth shake. This was raised from the bottom. So before them plain clothes got them, soak up the four square mouths to pop them. It's me in the flesh, here to put the rumors to rest and let you celebrate hip-hop's best. From the womb to the tomb, hit the game real soon with a tune that's gonna take sun straight to the moon. Ted Al, see it's my turn now. All competitors bow, all you're saying is wow.
All I know is the way it gotta go. Everything it takes to hold me down. All I see.
The pedigree, the owner whole catalog. All I'm saying is, don't sleep on me, dog. I really walk them streets there. School them young wolves. CL is slay anything in his way. Okay, it's all about the aura I project. That ultimate connect and how you see me as a man of respect, right? So it's like a mutual agreement. On your feet is in the cement. Learn the rules, let you earn your pay. Sure, nosy than you think of what it cost me. To how the world forced me to kill them softly. Baby, how the music sound from the basement. And how the word bless me. Who let you see the fame don't impress me. Dig it? Why it's cut from a different cloth. Love to set it off. Keep a real nice piece in the loft. Easy. Anytime you can hold your head, then you can hold some bread and relate to what CL said. Yes.
All I know is the way it gotta go. And everything it takes to hold me down. All I see is the way it gotta be. Every time you see me hit the channel. This is my vibe, the way I survive. People can't play me out of bounds. Here's my point.
Jeff on the turntable, Seal on the M-I-C, Philly on up to the N-Y-C, a breakdancer's guard, tags in the train yard, wild style fat lace, thugs locked up from a 1980s case, goons with them grown kids, used to them long bits, meet you on the dance floor slash the visit did, a lot for the rep to, and see it all make sense, if I'm the king, yeah, that should make you the fresh prince, send for the driver, you looking at the real soul survivor, like my man J period mixtape, the man on fire, featuring the guest that Jeff hosts. You marvel at the up close and personal meeting of the minds. You should read the signs. This is what reclines. The thoughts in my lazy boy fit like a hand in glove from the city of brotherly love.
All I know is the way it gotta go. And everything it takes to hold me down. All I see is the way it gotta be. Everything you see me hit the channel.
All right. Okay, enough of that. Once again, CL Smooth, DJ Jazzy Jeff, All I Know, All I Know. Real Hip Hop, going back to All I Know is that Real Hip Hop is still being made. They just won't play it. All right, folks, Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk, Midway Point. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Quickly, this Ethiopian study. When I was talking about my Western mind, where I had to check myself quickly, was my first reaction was, wow, these Ethiopian kids, they're amazing. This is, they're intelligent and, you know, what's going on? You know, and I said, wait a minute. These are human beings. They're sentient beings. You introduce anything into the ecosphere with human beings, they should be able to figure it out. But with a Western mind, and we all suffer from this, you're thinking of them on a lower level. Like, oh, wait a minute. You're not expecting them to do that. Well, of course they would do that. So I had to quickly reboot and say, wait a minute. Why are they experimenting? Why are they experimenting on human beings? Of course you can educate someone. You can educate someone. But nevertheless, this is a blue area segment. We haven't done one in a while. But these Ethiopian children must be applauded. But mind you, there's always a talk, folks, ladies and gentlemen, there's always talk of resources, going into a country and getting their natural resources. We think of uranium. We think of gold and silver and oil. But the greatest resource is the human resource, isn't it? If they gave these children a chance, what could they accomplish? If folks who were formally illiterate, who did not have formal teaching, can hack a highly sophisticated computer, there's something that they did not mention in this piece, folks. There were things that they forgot to put into the tablets, let's say the camera function that the creators just forgot to do, that the Ethiopian children were able to figure out. They were able to engage the camera function when the makers, the creators, forgot to put it in there properly. They were able to actually customize these tablets, which again were solar powered, in an illiterate village in Ethiopia. Why aren't we helping more poor people like this? Now, also, what's up with the hood? What's up with the hood, Captain? I'm going to bring it up. There have been one thing comes to my mind. Malak Rock, Chris Rock's wife, she took some kids from, I believe, it wasn't Brownsville, but it was another poor area of Brooklyn, took them to Africa where they could see real poverty. We're not talking about project in poverty. We're talking about real poverty. And even they had to take a step back. Even they had to take a step back. Now, if folks from the hood see absolute poverty in Africa, and these African kids are hacking PCs, what's your problem, Shaquan? What's your problem, Lakeisha? That's all I'm saying. No such thing as, not that I ever believed it, not that the Afro nerd and the captain ever believed it, but there's no such thing as black inferiority. Sorry. James Watson, folks. James Watson, who I might mentioned on this show, who is a pseudo-white person. What does he mean by pseudo-white person? This man was the creator, or I should say the person that actually broke the human genome. He broke the human genome code. You can look this up, folks. Google it. James Watson, he took a dump on black folk at some point. He went into some big discourse, Captain, and said that, talked about, oh, black folks are inferior, you know, Africans are inferior. You know, he said it in some kind of way, in a slick way. Someone took his code. Since he broke the code, he had his own human DNA available on the internet. Someone checked it, someone decoded it, and found out that Mr. Watson was 25% African. Sit your ass down, Mr. Watson. Sit your ass down. He went away quietly. But he hated on black folk, telling them, oh, these Africans are inferior. But you go to an Ethiopian village, Captain, and these illiterates are hacking PCs. That's it. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to have to get a little didactic on the situation. The situation is thus. Intelligence is something that's genetic. This is your height, your physical strength, your speed, your eye color. Now, what affects this intelligence? The basic paradigm to any species, whether it's human or an animal, is knowledge of self in respect to your fellow species. If I put a cat out in the street and he does not know that it's a cat, for whatever reason, he does not know that it's a cat, it will not be that intelligent in respect to the other cats. They will look at you like, what's going on with this fool, this imbecile? Now, that being said, I've been to Africa twice. I've been to Nigeria, which is West Africa. Ethiopia is East Africa. And no disrespect to the North American black man. There are intelligent individuals here. Individuals are intelligent. Afro-Nerd is intelligent. Q-Storm is intelligent. Sergio Mims is intelligent. But when I was in Nigeria, I would say the masses of people, and I went there twice, in respect to the North American black man that I encounter, I've lived here all my life, is a lot more intelligence. A lot more intelligent. Now, what destroys intelligence? I just called one thing. Here's another thing that was scientifically proven. When you pull the father out of the household, regardless of income, children are less intelligent. That does not mean that you may have a child with one parent and they do not become a genius. It just means, as per rule, there will always be exceptions. Next thing that dumbs down intelligence is attaching negative means. When you attach subculture, it brings down your intelligence. You can raise a people's intelligence via generation, via Lamarckism. That's why it's necessary to go read about Lamarckism so you can understand. You can raise a people's intelligence and also make them more stupid. Hence the Chinese over two generations. They now considered smart. Two generations ago, they were not. It's one of the reasons why the Chinese block the internet. They do not want negative memes attaching to the people over there. Now, this is good. This is a good study. So you can see the difference and what's going on here. You have to remember now, they might not have been literate, but they're there in Africa. They have knowledge of self. What's the basis paradigm to any species? Intelligence is going to be high or higher than what you're used to in that situation. I've been to Africa twice, and I've seen it for my own two eyes. The math that these kids were doing when they're 7 and 8 years of age is what they give you here, the morons here, when you're 14, 15 here in America. You can't do it. Why can't you do it? Because of what I just mentioned, and that's been scientifically proven, and that's the reality of it. So when you come onto your own, you come into yourself, and you understand self, you can do incredible things. Black people are extremely talented. And actually, the North American black man is actually more talented, but he has been dumbed down for the reasons I just mentioned. So he's like a cluster screw at this given time. And that's the reality, that's the truth, and that is the knowledge. You could take it or leave it alone. Back to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Well, you know, Captain, I don't want to go into this preach mode. I try not to go into a preach mode, but sometimes I think some things have to be said. And in my travels, I must say I talk to myself out of frustration when I see certain things going on with our youth, with black and brown youth. And I still see, and I've said this before, folks, so you just have to deal with it. I've seen this, and I've said this on a number of occasions, where I see our young people, and they're not getting it. Now, many of them are getting it. Many of them are getting it. Some in our inner circle, shouting out Sally V, highly educated, going to school. I appreciate her very much for doing what she's doing, and her efforts are to be applauded. But my thinking, Captain, is I still see a lot of failure. And for all of the accomplishments of President Barack Obama, we were thankfully able to get a second term from this gentleman, but there's not always going to be a Barack Obama. And we have to take advantage of his imagery while we still can. And it confuses me, it befuddles me, to see 20 years later, this fashion code, the black man's burqa, which is what it is, these saggy jeans. It's become the black man's burqa. You won't give it up. You see your president as a shining prince. Tight Caesar, attractive children, a beautiful wife, well-spoken, clean, knows who he is, centered blackness. And he is a threat. He is a threat. When you saw what he was able to accomplish during the debates, when you saw black cerebral consciousness and a black cerebral prowess on the national stage, it is a frightening prospect. And you also saw the vituperative vituperative white noise coming from many. And I'm saying this as a Republican, many in the Republican Party, and those who aren't even Republican. We talked about the last segment, these white teens that are beside themselves looking at this man who is as intelligent and as cool as a cucumber, as he could be. And the black folks aren't getting it. They're angry with him because they're seeing black intelligence on a national stage. Now is the time to pull up those pants and to show and prove. But no one's going to take you seriously. That's the issue. You're not going to be taken seriously, and we've become so comfortable in our own wretchedness, Captain. We've become comfortable with it. We've been comfortable with black death, and we've been comfortable with minstrelsy. And I talk about this all the time because I see it. Now you have a chance to see how it's really done. And some black folks look twisted at Obama because they don't know what it is, because we've been degraded for so long.
We've been degraded for so long, and it's a conditioning process. We've been conditioned for failure because there's no way. People were sagging in 1993, 1992. It's 2012. Why are we still sagging? Heck, double-breasted suits went out of fashion in the late 70s. 30 years later, now they're back again. You get tired of something, you let it go, then you come back to it. What is going on with sagging 20 years later? We still do it, and you still want respect. No one's going to respect you looking sloppy like that. I don't do it. I'm another black person. I've seen other black young folk, Captain, that have this sag look, and I'm looking like the fly on the wall, and I'm saying to myself, I don't want to take this man seriously. I can't do it. I can't do it. And I see in the eyes of other folk, not just white, but other folk that look at these teenagers and then they're dismissed. Any thoughts, Captain, before we move along? I'm just saying.
I think what you said is well said, and let's move on. I have nothing more to add to it.
Going to Sergio, friend of the show, Sergio Mims. He says, okay, actually, Q-Stone's giving a compliment. I appreciate it. One of my best rants. Okay. He says, Sergio says, that's because, as I've said, before a lot of black people see Obama is a black guy, but not as one of us because of his background and how he was raised. Yeah, that's part of it, too. That's part of it, too. We have absorbed him as an anomaly, or rather, we have not absorbed him because we're going to chalk him up as some kind of mutant. Shouting out Professor Xavier's school for advancement. He's from Professor X's school with special powers, I think. I can't come up with any other excuses for that. I don't know what that is. Anyway, I want to move along. Enough of that. Actually, I want to talk about more about post-election madness, but more about what the Democrats are doing, Captain. I want to know if you've noticed this. Well, actually, I think you did mention this. Don't you think the Democrats are doing the victory dance too long? These people going in, they need to shut it down now.
That's a good point.
Because like any great villain, and I'm saying that I'm not afraid to speak, because, listen, I'm a moderate conservative, and the Republicans are so bat-ass crazy. I'm censoring myself. They're so bat-ass crazy and so fundamentalist. Like we see how the fundamentalist Muslims get down, Captain. Not Muslims, fundamentalist Muslims. With their honor killings, you might have heard this, folks, about some young lady who did what nature told her to do. She simply looked at a boy. She simply looked at a boy, ladies and gentlemen, and her parents killed her. Honor killing. Fundamentalist religion. But we see this in Christianity, and that's what's happening with the Republicans. They're so far to the right that they don't even want to deal with moderate Republicans. They don't even want to deal with moderates. Anyway, the Democrats are doing the victory dance by talking about this new wave of Latin immigrants, black folk, gay folk, women folk, young folk. They're talking about the big takeover. This is a big takeover, and they're talking about the erosion of whiteness. Now, I hinted at this a little bit in the last discourse, but I don't want to burn it into the ground, because like any great villain, Dr. Doom returns, the Joker returns, and the Republicans will return if you're not prepared. So I think we should be very careful about this notion of the erosion of whiteness. Now, I think it's going down. Oh, yes, I think it's going down. But we have to be careful about broadcasting this notion, because we want our dear president to survive. I see there's a lot of anger out there, folks. And it is frustrating to see anger for nothing, really. What has Barack Obama, what has he done? You see the man's demeanor. You see how he carries himself. He's not really arrogant in the traditional sense of the word. The captain knows about this. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of arrogance. It takes a lot of chutzpah to seek the highest office in the land. Oh, yes, it takes a lot of chutzpah. But he's not conventionally arrogant. Not conventionally so. But there's so much hate talk, and you mix the hate talk with the na-na-na-na-na coming from the Dems. I'm very uncomfortable about this, and I want this young black man to survive. I really do. What are your thoughts about this, Catherine? Do you think we are doing the victory dance a little too close to the cuff right now?
Listen, Democrats, they won. Now it's time to move forward. Yes, I do agree. They're doing the victory dance a little too close to the cuff. They've been doing it a little too long. It's time to move forward. Let's get people to work. Let's get going with the plan. You know, that sort of thing. You won already. Let's get it going. And I also feel, too, you know, that, you know, Mr. Obama, and it's something I mentioned on that last show with Norman Kelly, I believe it was, that he has to somewhat now maybe watch his back a little bit more than he did before. Obviously, being the president, you have to watch your back. You're commander in chief. But not so much from overseas situation, homeland, what they call domestic type of terrorism against the president. Because, you know, there's people out there that will formulate all type of foolishness within their head, you know, and just, you know, they have a vendetta. Vendetta for what? Either you agree with his policies or you do not agree with his policies. It's not supposed to be anything with a race war, anything like that. Either you agree with his policies or you do not agree with his policies. If you can get down to that, A or B, things become very simple at that given point. But you see, what individuals are doing, they're blurring their lines. They're forgetting about policies, and then they're just getting to the point where that they're just looking at the individual. I just don't like him. How do you quantify that? Explain that. Explain it. And then when you ask these individuals why you don't like them, they can't give you a straight answer. But if you're dealing with policy, you can give a straight answer. You could say, well, you know, he didn't deliver this, he didn't deliver that, he didn't deliver this. And then we can go back and forth and play devil's advocate. You understand? You know, well, he was blocked by this. Congress blocked him on that, so he couldn't pass the job bill and everything else. And you get into how the inner workings of how government works, you morons. So, yes, I do agree with you, Sir Raffiner. Back over to you.
Yeah, one quick thing. We got about 3 minutes remaining, Captain. Something I want to, a little nugget I want to get to our audience. And listen closely. There was a real Machiavellian reason why I became a conservative. Not that I hated Democrats so much. I mean, there was a victimization thing that bothered me. Victim, victim, victim. We're always under the eight ball, and it bothered me. And also, I didn't like the stereotype of someone looking at me and just automatically assuming, oh, you're black, you must be liberal. That just bothered me. And I did my fair share of research. And also, we have to acknowledge that once upon a time, most black folk pre-1960-61 were conservative. Jackie Robinson was a Republican. Anyway, some of us are going to have to bite the bullet and start to disperse or disseminate our vote even-handedly. We should do, and there's a template for this, Captain. We should do what the swing states have done. At first, I was annoyed by the swing states, Captain. I think many people are like, "What's going on? Why doesn't New York count? Why doesn't California count?" Now I applaud the swing states. Everybody focused on them. People, black people, brown people, everybody focused on them. They demanded respect. We didn't see nary a political ad in New York. We didn't really see any. Because, you know why? Because they know that you're going to be Democratic. Oh, we don't have to focus on New York. We don't have to focus on you. Ohio, it was all about Ohio and Florida. They counted. Ohio and Florida counted. Imagine if black folk operated like Ohio and like Florida. They might pay attention to you. They might pay attention to you. But if you're going to do what they think you're going to do all the time, why should they care? Ohio mattered. Florida mattered. That's it. Come on, folks. Time to wake up, as Spike Lee said. Mighty Spike Lee. Wake up, wake up, wake up. All right, Captain. Wednesday, people. Wednesday. We'll do it again. Let's go on out on some mango meat. Mandrel. See you guys. We appreciate it.
Oh,